Angels of Caliban by Gav Thorpe, read by John Banks. If a group of people feels that it has been humiliated and that its honor has been trampled underfoot, it will want to express its identity, and this expression of an identity will take different shapes and forms. Abdul Karim Sarini, Remembrances of the Peaceful Compliance of Caliban. There is a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in miseries. On such a full sea are we now afloat, and we must take the current when it serves, or lose our ventures. Attributed to the Emperor, to the six hosts at embarkation upon the expeditionary fields. Prologue. Zaramund, 970.M30. The two gigantic warships lay abreast of each other in orbit over the world, dwarfing all of the other nearby cruisers, frigates, and destroyers, like alpha bulls in a herd of metal and ferrocrete beasts. Beneath them, dark plumes stained the violet clouds of Zaramund, spilled from entire cities on fire. Millions of tons of orbital wreckage paid further testament to the fury of the Zaramundian rebellion, and the subsequent response by the Emperor's Legiones Astartes. Two immense starships, each the pride of their respective fleet, each capable of laying waste to a world. The vengeful spirit, the Terminus Est. Names that resounded across the fledgling Imperium of Mankind, alongside the Macrag's Honor, the Invincible Reason, the Conqueror, and a dozen others, many of them flagships that had led the fleets of the Emperor into the darkness and reclaimed the galaxy for humanity. Aboard the Vengeful Spirit, the commander of the Terminus Est stood in the massive avenue hall approaching the Strategium, surrounded by a throng of attendees, both human and transhuman. Some were clad in the white armor of Kallas Typhon's own 14th Legion. Others bore the equally pale livery of their Lunar Wolves hosts. Huddled in groups around the giant warriors they attended was a sea of serfs, helots, servitors, strategos, orderlies, squires, and many other titles beside, dependent upon role and legion. A splash of red robes to the left marked the presence of the highest-ranking Mechanicum officials present in the fleet. Surrounded by a gaggle of flesh-spare adepts stood Regulus, less a man, more a mechanical skeleton, clad in slivers of flesh that appeared almost decorative upon his gold and steel form. Two gigantic vat-bred servitors carried between them a huge cog wrought of dull white material, engraved with sapphire-like runes. Typhon had no idea what the icon was for, and cared less. The ways of the Mechanicum were best not explored in detail. A patch of gold just behind belonged to the Aeliet Phalanx, the Imperial Army Auxiliary Regiment currently supporting the Lunar Wolves. They were obscured from view as three immense warriors in the plate of the Lunar Wolves moved between the Auxiliary Commanders and Typhon. Kallas Typhon, a lieutenant commander in the first great company of the Death Guard, veteran of decades of bloody war, felt a shudder of excitement and trepidation as he looked ahead to the short processional that would take them into the Grand Hall of the Primarch. A 20-meter colonnade of black stone decorated with a fretwork of silver wire flanked the great portal of the Strategium. More of the phalanxes lined the way, their weapons held in salute across their chests, company banners moving gently in the breeze of the artificial climate inside the battle barge. In contrast to the bulky powered warplate of the Space Marines, the phalanxes wore long coats of golden mesh scale, hemmed with thick banks of scarlet at wrist and ankle, broad belts studded with ceramite cinched around their waists. They carried jezaili, long barreled lasguns, more like spears, with meter-long leaf-shaped bayonets affixed. Amongst them were sergeants with bared power swords and presented Volkite serpenti, here and there an officer with a high plume on his helm. Their weapons doubled as badges of office, meter-long rods that contained powerful shock field generators that could pierce the hull of a tank or turn an unarmored man to bloody slush with a touch. The glittering scale of majors and captains and lieutenants, and even one full war marshal with an ebon cloak held by a ruby starburst clasp, was covered by cuirasses of laminated black, adorned with a white strike of lightning between moulded pectorals. The flared helms of all had silver visors that covered their eyes, and their visible features were set with grim determination. But Typhon could see quivering lips and the smallest droplets of tears as the assembled veterans struggled to maintain their composure amid such grand spectacle. It was typical of Horus's touch, his recognition of the efforts of others. Of all the grand and noble warriors who had fought for Zaramund, he had chosen 100 heroes from the unaugmented human regiment to act as honor guard to his act of commemoration. Typhon glanced at his second-in-command, Hadrabalus Vios, and smiled.
"Remind me to convey congratulations to the Lunar Wolves commander for a brief campaign perfectly executed. We are, of course, honored to attend his ceremony of recompliance."
"Recompliance?" Vios raised an eyebrow. His handsome features took on a roguish look as he smiled back. "Have you just invented a new type of campaign?"
"What else would you call it?"
Typhon asked. He kept his eye moving across the quiet, organized crowds that went about their duties with a cold, deliberate air.
"Zaramund broke from compliance. Now it is compliant again. Re-compliance."
Vios's humour dissipated. Who would have thought Zaramund would turn? One of the oldest reclaimed systems, essential to the first expeditions. How could the authorities of such an important world allow it to fall into such dissent? It was good that the Primarch responded so swiftly and decisively. There was admiration in his voice, admiration that Typhon shared. Horus had drawn together a considerable strike force in an astoundingly short time and wielded it with brutal but effective command.
"Essential," replied Typhon. "The disruption to warships and supplies bound to the expedition fleets would have been grave enough for such a reaction. The threat to Terra, if a conduit system, a major shipyard at that, was ever to turn back from service to the Emperor..."
Typhon considered what might have occurred had Horus not responded so dramatically to the interruption of his supply ships. Several dozen starships of different classes, all poised within an easy warp jump of the throne world. They both fell silent at the thought, though for different reasons. A seed of an idea, barely formed, settled in the back of Typhon's thoughts.
"Serious mischief, rightly curtailed," Vios said eventually, breaking Typhon's nascent chain of thought. "A stroke of luck that the Lunar Wolves returned when they did."
"No luck was involved, I'm sure. The Primarch is canny like that. Some might see a few missing transports as just one of those irritating things that happens on campaign. A Primarch, a commander like him, knows that nothing short of alien attack or rebellion would keep those ships from his fleet."
Vios accepted this without comment, and they waited in silence for a few minutes until a lone figure appeared at the end of the colonnade. He was silhouetted in the light from the strategium, a giant compared to the soldiers of the Phalanxis, clad in Terminator armor even bigger than the warplate of Typhon and his companion. The figure approached purposefully, and what little chatter there had been amongst the waiting crowd fell to silence. The Phalanxis presented their arms as the warrior advanced. The light of the colonnade revealed an impassive face, unyielding and weathered. His head was shaven but for a topknot, his cheeks and chin clean of all hair. Ezekiel Abaddon, first captain of the Lunar Wolves, almost as fated as his Primarch. He stopped 5 meters away. When he spoke, the deep growl was projected far into the Avenue Hall by the address systems of the Vengeful Spirit.
"You may attend the commander now."
With that simple statement, Abaddon turned and strode back towards his master. The delegates looked at each other, knowing that no formal order of entrance had been agreed or decreed,
but none wishing to rush forward in an undignified scrum. A quintet of warriors broke from the throng to the left, stirring a murmur of conversation. Four were Space Marines, with the build of such, but the fifth, though wearing armor similar to the Legiones Astartes, was clearly shorter and slighter. They were clad in black battleplate, a winged sword symbol upon their shoulders. What was confusing to most was that the lesser of the warriors walked slightly ahead, the Space Marines clearly deferential to him a pace behind.
"The Dark Angels," whispered Vios.
He may have been overheard, or it may have been coincidence, but a second later, the Dark Angels' leader turned in his course, cutting across the colonnade to approach Typhon and his second. His thick, dark hair was cropped almost to the scalp, his lower face covered by a carefully shaped beard.
"Lord Luther," said the Death Guard commander, nodding in respect to the leader of the First's contingent, and then to each of the Dark Angels. "Brothers of noble Caliban."
One of them uttered a surly grunt at this remark, but his commander cut off any comment that was going to follow.
"Captain Typhon, an honor to meet in person," replied Luther.
The scars of his augmentation were obvious, along with visible bionics in the jaw, neck, and behind the corneas. Despite these, the Dark Angel's officer was considerably smaller than his companions. Even so, he held himself in a way that meant he became the center of attention, his noble face bearing a weight of dignity and gravitas beyond that which he gave up in physical presence. He extended a gauntleted hand with a whine of servos.
"Let me thank you again for acting as the line breakers through the orbital stations. A necessary but bullish task, taken on without complaint or hesitation." "A role we will never shirk," replied Typhon, taken aback by the words of gratitude.
It was not often that others acknowledged the sacrifices made by those who so often placed themselves at the front of any assault. The Death Guard prided themselves on their stoicism, but the commander could not help but feel a small flush of pleasure at the words of praise.
"We should not keep the Lord Primarch waiting," said Luther, turning slightly.
As easily as that, Typhon and the Dark Angels started down the colonnade, a dozen paces from Abaddon, their companions just behind. The others, invited by the Primarch, fell into an awkward processional after them. Typhon knew then how Luther could quite easily be first captain, or whatever Calibanites wanted to call it, without the benefits of a Space Marine physiology. He exuded leadership and confidence, born with charisma and honed by many years of experience.
"It is fascinating that we should find warriors of the Death Guard in an expedition of the Lunar Wolves," said Luther. "An exchange of ideas," replied Typhon. "A cultural embassy, you could say. We learn of Chthonia and the battle doctrine of the Lunar Wolves. We teach them of war as the Death Guard pursue it, and try to avoid speaking about barbarous."
He laughed at his own joke and earned himself a quizzical look from Luther.
"The Administratum designated Caliban a death world, yes?"
he asked the Dark Angel.
"Of a sort."
Luther looked confused, or perhaps defensive.
"With the lion's aid, we slew all the great beasts of the forest and instilled order and peace. The toxic air of Barbarus kills most humans within 30 years. At higher altitudes, it will kill in seconds. The Administratum had set the bar too low on death by the time they found us."
Any potential reply from Luther was cut off by their arrival at the Strategium. They passed beneath the great arch of the portal and out onto a massive balcony overlooking the main bridge of the Vengeful Spirit. As commander of the Terminus Est, Typhon was not awed by scale alone. What took his breath away as he stepped out into that rarefied air was the purpose to which the immense hall was dedicated, the domain of a Primarch, center of an entire expedition fleet, throne room to one of the 20 kings-to-be of the galaxy. The Strategium was a dedicated deck overlooking the levels of the main bridge of the battle barge, made of plain ironwork, tier upon tier of galleries stretching into the height of the Vengeful Spirit. Looking up at the vertiginous edifice reminded Typhon of the peaks of his homeworld, where the cruel overlords had ruled from summit fortresses. In this realm, the Lord made his roost very much in the middle altitudes. In fact, if Typhon had not known better, he would not have guessed that this was the realm of a demigod. It all seemed remarkably prosaic, phlegmatic, he had heard the Lunar Wolves say often. No thrones, no tribunes or heralds, not even on the lauded occasion of a great victory. Where was the finery of rank, the filigree of pomp, the gold and scarlet of celebration? It was reassuring to Typhon that there was no such aggrandizement. He shared the aesthetics of Mortarion inasmuch as a complete absence of them. Function trumped all other considerations. He heard a grunt of appreciation from Vios. Typhon's eye followed Abaddon at first into the shadow beneath the overhang. Three others waited there, indistinct in the darkness.
"The Mournival," he whispered to Luther. "Abaddon, Lytus, Torgadon, Janapur. The mailed fist around Horus's velvet glove."
The commander's council were nothing more than darker shapes in the shadow, deliberately withdrawn from the spectacle about to take place. Something red sparkled in the gloom, a bionic eye directed at Typhon for a few seconds. The Death Guard captain leaned closer to his companion.
"It was Lytus that adopted me when I arrived. Have you met any of the Mournival yet?"
"I had the pleasure once," Luther replied, his tone sarcastic. "Abaddon thought our legion would benefit from a stronger warrior code. He took offense when I laughed." Typhon glanced at the Dark Angel, surprised by this.
"You laughed at Abaddon?"
"I did not intend to, but the notion was ludicrous. I was Grand Master of the Order, a military organization that dates back long before any warrior creed being peddled through some of the other legions." Luther did not look around as he asked his next question. "Have they tried to introduce you to a warrior lodge yet?" Typhon's reply came smoothly and naturally. It was laughable that Luther thought Typhon needed to be inducted into the mysteries of the lodges. Long before any Lunar Wolf had set foot on Davin, he had known of the darker history of mankind. He needed no lessons about the nature of the universe and the other place where the true power resided. A hellish upbringing on Barbarus and an early life spent exploring his psychic potential had taught him far more than fraternal rituals and rote-mouthed ceremonies. He could have spoken of his role as the second of the Seven Pillars, embodying the undying, otherworldly will of the Plague Father amongst the brothers of his legion. Not even Mortarion held sway in those cloistered gatherings. For many amongst the Lunar Wolves, the compliance on Davin had been the fountainhead of inter-legion brotherhood through the fraternal alliances modelled on that world's warrior lodges. For Typhon and a few others, an inter-legion understanding had existed for much longer. He was not a recruit. He was a recruiter. He wasn't a messenger. He was the message. But he did not say this. His answer was far simpler.
"I can't say."
A movement drew Typhon's eye, and he realized that, miraculously, their host had been present all along. How he had not seen the Primarch standing immobile on the dais was a mystery. It was as though a colossal statue had come to life. One moment, the attendees had been spreading out across the ironwork balcony, marveling at the immense structure. The next, there was a giant amongst them, clad in white and burnished gold. Furs were heaped upon his battle plate, and honours and medals from a dozen cultures recently brought to peaceful compliance. It was as though he lit up the entire strategium, and not just with the glitter of gold. Horus Lupercal, Primarch of the Lunar Wolves, Typhon's surrogate master for the time, though it was the first occasion he had laid eyes upon the Legion commander. The experience was very different to the proximity of Mortarion, his own Primarch. The leader of the Death Guard was imposing, unsettling even. His presence dominated the room no less than Horus, but with a shadow, not a sun. To come before grim-faced Mortarion, to look into eyes that had seen the worst that Barbarus could offer, was to confront the cold bleakness of death, the inevitability of ending. Horus was life. He smiled as his gaze roamed across the assembling crowd, lips tight, eyes meeting those of everyone. They rested on Typhon for a moment, animated and amused and fatherly all at once. The Death Guard bowed his head, shamed that he felt more for this commander than his own. The light of Horus's gaze moved on. Yet that was the greater aim, was it not? Horus was life. Horus was animation. Horus was the future. A fitting lord to represent the master of mankind, to sweep the galaxy into a new era of bountiful and joyous rebirth. Like many others, Typhon felt the urge to show obedience and respect, and was halfway to lowering a knee to the Primarch when Horus's voice boomed out, "Don't any of you dare bow," he declared with a laugh. The commander instead dipped his head in salute to the assembled warriors as he slowly turned from left to right. "My thanks," Horus continued, waving a hand to encompass all on the strategium. "My deepest heartfelt gratitude to each of you that has come here today, and beyond, to every soldier of the Emperor that fought to avert this disaster. I owe you a debt greater than words can express. I know that for all of you, the performance of duty in the cause of humanity is reward enough, but nevertheless, know that you carry the appreciation of the Emperor with you." So easily Horus spoke in the Emperor's name. Authority weighted every word. The Primarch grew somber and turned away, his face lifting towards the largest hololithic display of the main bridge, which towered over the proceedings. The projectors flickered into life to show the world of Zaramund and the orbital space around it, dotted with runes and annotations of defences and imperial ships. "As I give thanks to those whose ears can hear it, so I pay respect to those that will never hear words again." Horus tilted his face down a little, the lights of the strategium shining bright on his bald scalp. "They sacrificed all, for the Emperor, for Zaramund, for their brothers and sisters. Remember them and honor them."
"Remember them and honor them," Typhon chorused with the others.
"Lieutenant de Blessant,"
the Primarch called out as the honor guard of the phalanxes completed the audience. All present turned as Horus's finger picked out the junior officer, who trembled as though struck through by a bolt.
"This man here and his command platoon secured the gun batteries at Atreon. No orbital support, no Titans, just 20 men and women with courage and a brilliant leader."
Applause rippled out, and Typhon clapped with them, impressed by the story. Securing Atreon had allowed Horus to move his fleet into closer orbit, hastening the surrender of the rebels by several days, if not weeks. The young man seemed quite overwhelmed by this praise, not only from Horus, but the thunderous ovation of several dozen space marines and his own companions. One of his soldiers put an arm around de Blessant to steady the officer.
"And what about Shield Lieutenant Loken?"
Horus's change of focus spared de Blessant any further discomfort, as the eyes of all swung to a Lunar Wolves officer standing close to the dais.
"A spirited boarding action against the vagaries of fate."
Loken was far more composed, accepting the plaudits with a nod of the head and raised hand. He smiled warmly as several other Lunar Wolves slapped his pauldrons in appreciation.
"And Captain Typhon, without whom we would all still be in orbit, waiting to see who would dare the platform's guns first."
Typhon heard Vios laugh, and was then surrounded by a cacophony of cheers and applause led by the Primarch. He flushed, remembering Luther's words about a thankless task. A warmth filled Typhon, which he loved and hated in equal measure. The feeling itself, the buoyant heat of approval, washed through him like a combat stim. With it came a self-knowing, self-loathing reaction that he should not respond so mawkishly to simple words. Yet Typhon's inner cynic, his melancholic shadow, the Lunar Wolves called it, could not resist the simple pleasure of praise from one as mighty as Horus. Never had such words left the lips of Mortarion. Others were being singled out, Horus finding each amongst the throng in an instant, their names and deeds spilling from his lips as easily as the commands that had sent them into the battle just 14 days earlier. Typhon clapped and laughed, nodded or shook his head with somber poise with everyone else, unable and unwilling to resist the air of brotherhood that united all on the strategium. From mighty Horus to the lowliest trooper of the phalanxes, everybody present was part of the same endeavor, conjoined beneath the brilliance of their commander. In time, The Primarch withdrew to join his officers in the Mournival, and the lesser beings of the retaliatory force were left to mingle and converse. Typhon was subdued and allowed Vios to carry most of the conversation with Luther and the Dark Angels. For their part, the warriors of Caliban seemed content to allow their leader to speak for them, only uttering a few words of clarification about the campaign or a particular action when directly addressed. It was a surprise when there came a familiar voice at Typhon's shoulder.
"High words from the commander, Captain Typhon."
The Space Marines turned to see a warrior clad in dark grey warplate. Even amongst the fearsome warriors of the Legiones Astartes, he struck an intimidating figure. His shaven head was covered with tiny script, lines of devotional text and doctrine from the Wordbearer's Legion. His eyes were like sharp diamonds, piercing and bright, staring into Typhon rather than at him. But Typhon knew the latest arrival well, and with a laugh pulled the Wordbearer's legionary close, slapping him hard on the shoulder.
"Erebus! There was talk that you fell during the capture of Platform 5. I'm glad it was false rumor."
Typhon turned back to the others and regained his composure.
"Erebus of the Wordbearers, have you met Luther of Caliban?"
"I have not,"
replied the first chaplain. He extended a hand, and Luther took it in a swift grip.
"My counsel," said the Dark Angel, indicating each of his companions in turn. "Chief Librarian Israfael, and Brother Zahariel of the Librarius, Meria Astolan, Chapter Master, and the Lord Cipher, my aide. Greetings to you all. I would become better acquainted, but I bear news for the Commander."
Erebus gave Luther an odd look and then glanced at Typhon.
"We will speak again soon, Kallas."
Before any more could be said, the first chaplain had disappeared into the shadows haunted by the Mournival. Typhon could not clearly see what happened, but there was much gesturing and some agitation between Erebus and Abaddon. Eventually, the first captain stepped aside and the Wordbearer approached Horus. Only a few seconds passed before the Primarch stepped out into the light again. Silence emanated like a ripple, and into the vacuum of noise, Horus spoke quickly but confidently.
"We are to be honored," Horus announced.
From his manner, the casual observer might have thought that everything was as intended. Typhon knew better, and while all other eyes were on the Primarch, he saw the officers of the Mournival slipping away from the audience.
"One of my brothers will be joining us shortly," the Primarch continued.
Despite the gravitas of the occasion, a spirited murmur of speculation broke out amongst the gathered warriors. Horus was not forthcoming with any further information and turned his attention to the consortium of Regulus's tech priests. Some minutes later, the address systems of the vengeful spirit blared a clarion of welcome. Typhon moved to look back through the great portal of the Strategium, but his view was obscured by the bulky warplate of several Lunar Wolves Terminators. He could only see an honor guard of 16th Legion veterans hastily assembling under the instruction of Captain Janipur. Another minute passed, and the warriors presented bolters and reaper cannons, volkite calivers and melter weapons in honor of the arriving Primarch. The newcomer was clad toe to neck in black warplate, chased with reddish gold and bright silver. His plastron was sculpted into the face of a great hunting cat, its mane forming into a ruby-clustered clasp for a cloak of white, edged with black fur. His face was stern, eyes a startling green, fair shoulder-length hair swept back by an elegant iron band. At his waist hung a sword with an eagle's claw pommel, gripping a sapphire the size of a man's fist.
Lion L. Johnson, the Lion of Caliban, Primarch of the Dark Angels.
He advanced alone, no retinue or guard behind, eyes not once glancing at the honors presented to him. His jaw was set hard, hands bunched into fists. Typhon could feel anticipation turning to tension, polluting the atmosphere of the Strategium. A mutter from Luther drew Typhon's attention away from the lion. The commander of the Dark Angels contingent was staring at his master as though a revenant stalked the corridor. The lion burst onto the Strategium with long strides, and all around him warriors lowered to one knee, like grass flattened by a strong wind. Typhon felt the need to obey flowing into him, and he did not resist it, dropping one leg to the floor along with the others. Only Horus remained standing, saying nothing. Luther pushed himself quickly back to his feet, but before he could say anything, the lion held up a hand to silence him. The Primarch spoke without looking at his subordinate.
I will deal with you momentarily.
Typhon shuddered. The words had not been directed at him, but he felt the heat of their rebuke like the backwash from an explosion. The target of the words, Luther bowed his head and clasped his hands together at his stomach.
My brother, you have done that which none of our enemies has ever managed, said Horus, his tone light. Taken me unawares.
The lion stopped a few steps from Luther, his eyes fixed on Horus. Typhon found himself sneaking glances at the two of them, holding his head rigid as if to move might betray his presence. All around him, the Strategium was shrouded in stillness and silence, and though he knew the main bridge beyond had to be continuing as normal, it was as though a bubble encompassed them all. Typhon could feel the uncertainty of everyone else seething around him, uncertainty and fear. The instincts of all were that of prey being discovered by predator. No mortal fear could mar the heart of a legionary, but in that moment, several dozen warriors of the Legiones Astartes were frozen by a dreadlike desire to be anywhere else but on that iron-wrought balcony.
Where is the invincible reason, brother? Asked Horus. It grieves me that I did not fate your arrival with proper ceremony.
Better that I came unheralded.
Still, the lion did not look at his legionaries.
Chance brought me back to Zaramond. Imagine my surprise to see the ships of Caliban amongst the fleet of the Lunar Wolves.
Horus spread his hands, the apology unspoken.
Need was immediate. It is a credit to your warriors that they answered my call. They have fought bravely and well in the service of the Emperor.
The lives of my warriors are not yours to spend like coin, Horus.
Buy victories with the expense of your wolves, not my knights.
Horus did not retort, and the lion did not wait for a reply. His gaze turned to Luther and the other Dark Angels. The Primarch did not raise his voice, but his anger was palpable, a barely suppressed rage hidden behind softly spoken words.
My command was clear. Your duties well prescribed. You were to remain on Caliban. You answer to no other but me, save the Emperor himself.
Of course, my liege, said Luther.
Typhon was impressed. A lesser man would have given reasons, made excuses. The Calibanite certainly could plead his case that, answering Horus's call to arms, the preservation of compliance at Zaramond outweighed any standing orders and day-to-day duties. Luther said nothing in his defense, but met his Primarch's glare with a steady gaze. Only the familial bond between them could ever create such resolve. Typhon had been on the verge of weeping like a child when Mortarion had told him that the Librarius was an abomination and he was to be sent to the battle companies as a first-rank legionary.
You were my right hand, Luther, as I had been yours. I must know where my hand is at all times. I cannot move my gaze away only for my hand to take up a blade without my knowledge.
Your will is my command, liege.
Luther started to tremble, the words forced through quivering lips.
Your word alone shall stir me in the future.
The sword must be sheathed, Luther. You will be returned to Caliban, and there you will remain until I return or call for you. Your warships will come with me to the expeditionary fleet. With this disruption to Zaramond, I need every vessel, and you will have no use for them.
Luther looked despondent and swallowed hard. He silently nodded his acquiescence and dropped his gaze to the metal decking.
Prepare for your departure, the lion told his dark angels.
He spared one last glance at Horus, irritation twisting his lip for a second.
There will be no further celebration of insubordination.
The lion strode from the Strategium without another look. The assembled space marines, freed from the glowering presence of the lion, straightened and stood in the wake of his departure. Typhon knew well that the creed to which he belonged, the hidden brotherhood within the legions, had made no gains amongst the First Legion. He sensed opportunity and moved to Luther's side to lay a hand on the Dark Angel's arm.
You are not alone, brother, he assured Luther. There are those of us that know what it is like to feel the displeasure of our Primarch. I have felt harsh words and fell judgment also.
Luther did not say anything, but he gave Typhon a look of understanding. They held each other's gaze for a few seconds before Luther broke away and addressed his companions.
"We have our command, brothers. We return to Caliban, and there we will remain banished from the lion's presence until our liege sees fit to release us."